So today I'm going to bring you a message brought to you by love. Last week I talked to you about what happens when you miss the rapture. This week I want to talk to you from the very position of love. And I want to talk to you, you'll be known by your fruits. My title, my message, you will know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now, I got a lot of more verses here we're going to talk about, but I want to explain a few things. Jesus is talking. He says, it's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's really a command. Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by that way. Now, here's the deal. God won't make you enter the narrow gate. It's this thing called free will. You get a choice. He says, enter the narrow gate. Enter the narrow gate. And then he gives you this option of a second gate right off the bat. There's a second gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So he starts out there's enter the narrow gate. Then he talks about a wide gate. And he gives you a little description about the wide gate. It is wide and a lot of people. And there's destruction that this gate leads to. And then he says this, and there's a lot of people going to go in that gate. Now, I know a little bit about gates. I know if you, by watching the rodeo the other night, you want a good gate between you and a mad bull. Preferably a high gate, strong gate, locked gate. Because a bull will kill you. There is destruction if he wants it to be. Last night we were taking down the banners around the rodeo arena, me and my wife and two or three others, and somebody hollered out, "Hey!" Well, I'm about halfway down that arena. My first response was, "There's a bull loose." I don't ride bulls. I've never ridden bulls, and I don't want to be ridden by one. So my first response was to turn around and see what was going on, right? I should have got on the fence, then turned around and see what was going on. But I turned and I told the people there, I said, "I'm just checking to make sure there wasn't a bull turned loose." Wasn't but a gate between us and them. But if they had to come through that gate, there could have been destruction of somebody. It wasn't going to be me because I was going to be on the other side. Amen. My dad has cattle. I'm going to explain a gate to you. My dad has a bunch of cattle, and he loves to work cattle. And he decided one day that, because he couldn't get good help, he was going to go to Arkansas State University and get some plans on how to build a corral to handle cattle by himself. And they have a design that you can buy some plans and you build it, and it's a one-gate system for this, and I mean, you can move those cattle around how you want to by a gate system. It's all gates. Close this gate, run this in. And if you know much about gates, you open this gate and something goes in. A gate is an entranceway or an exit way. That's what a gate is. That's all it does. You can move something this direction or you can move it that direction. That's what gates do. Christ's talking about a gate. There's a direction. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. But when my dad built his corral, now this thing takes up literally half an acre. I mean, this is a big thing, okay? But it starts out and there's this thing that he calls a fan fence. It's a straight fence and then one that kind of angles this way, and they funnel in to a gate, a big wide gate, you know, 20-foot wide gate. And he opens this gate and he goes and he starts herding his cattle in, and they just go right on in this. They come into this fan gate. They don't see anything going on. They don't even see the gate. And this, they're just funneled right in. And when they get down there, they pass the gate because it's open and it blends in with the rest of the stuff there, Jason. And they just go right on in and they're happy. They're thinking they're getting fed. Some of them fixing to feed somebody. And they go in there, and my dad gets right there behind on his little side by side, and he gets out and closes that gate. This thing is about this tall, seriously. It's made out of drill stem pipe. There's about 6 bars. I asked my dad, "Dad, why'd you build it like that?" And he said, "So when I come out here in the morning, them cows are still right where I put them." And so when they get in this first gate, then he starts separating by size, by gender, and all this stuff, and he begins to use a gate system. And the closer you get to the loadout chute or the head chute, the smaller the gate gets. Here's what I've noticed about helping my dad a few times work cattle. The closer they get to the smaller gate, the more resistance there is. See, that wide gate, when they walked in, they didn't even know that there was a gate there. But the more you begin to work cattle and the more you begin to push them and the more you get them crowded up here, they begin to realize there's something about these gates that they don't like. Because gates with a cow or whatever, cattle, force you to do something that you really don't want to do. That's why there's a command in 7:13 that says, enter by the gate. He's not going to force you. Enter by this gate. And then he gives a description of why you should enter by the gate by describing the second gate. You get it? There's a description of the first gate by describing the second gate. This gate, this wide gate, leads to destruction. Look, if those cattle that my dad sells, those yearlings and stuff that he sells for food, if they knew they were going to get killed, do you think they'd go? They go right in there thinking everything's okay. You understand a gate, do you? You understand what a gate is now? Okay, now I'm going to tell you the rest of my message. You'll know them by their fruits. Verse 14, going to this wide gate is destruction. Enter the narrow gate. And then he describes in the second verse, he describes the first gate. So we got a narrow gate, enter this gate. He describes the second gate, wide gate, and then he goes back and he makes a description of the first gate, the narrow gate. He says, go in the narrow gate because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. I'm not talking about you sitting in this church today breathing. I'm not talking about that kind of life, physical life. It's a difficult way to eternal life. If a preacher or someone you're listening to on television says this thing is so easy, they're a liar. Because the Bible says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. There's going to be trials and tribulations and there's going to be hiccups, if you will. And there's going to be mountains and there's going to be valleys and there's going to be waves that come over you. And you're going to wonder, where is God? Why did I go through this gate? He says, well, I told you that if you choose the gate that's narrow, it will be difficult. It's a narrow gate. You know why there's a narrow gate when you work cattle? So they won't turn around in the chute and run off from you. They call it a squeeze chute for a reason. The Lord squeezes on us. Come on, somebody. And some of you and me, when I say you, me, I'm talking about me. I'm paddling the boat. When he begins to squeeze on us, we begin to resist. 2 years ago, I called my mother. You know, I talk about my family, right? You know, Jesus talked about his family. You get it, though, right? And I called mom, and I talked to her, and she said, well, your dad got his finger cut off. I said, well, which one? That's a little finger. I said, oh, yeah. Cut off, like where at? Well, just from the first knuckle down. I said, well, what happened? She said, well, Cal kicked it off. Cal kicked it off. I mean, you know, he kicked my hand, and it's going to kind of go this way. Here's what I didn't know. My dad was working cattle in a squeeze chute. Had his hand up there, didn't realize it, and the cow kicked. Just happened to so kick where his finger was on that bar, and it just cut it right off. I asked him, I said, Dad, did that hurt? And he said, yeah, till it quit hurting. Cut that thing right off. You know, he had never been, I said, was that a bad cow? Was she crazy? He said, I don't know. I never had her up. You know what I got out of that? The more you squeeze people, the more you squeeze cattle, the angrier they get. Watch this. When you're trying to do good for them. See, he was trying to vaccinate, give shots, give fly spray and all that, tag them, do all that good stuff for them. It was for their benefit. Am I preaching to you today? See, it's for the benefit of that cattle. But that cow didn't understand, and that cow resisted because it was in a tight spot, went through a narrow gate, and it's difficult. And because of doing good, my dad lost the end of his finger because he wanted that cow to do good. Jesus lost his life because he wanted you to do good. Gates are, man, this is some stuff right here. I'm going to hurry. You will know them by their fruit. So you understand gates, right? That's part of the message. Stay with me. Verse 15, Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Next verse. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils, demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, Jesus is speaking this, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work or practice lawlessness. You'll be known by your fruits. What gate are you trying to enter? It's the first indication of your fruit. If you're trying to be like the world, you're standing at the wrong gate. If you think that you can have a good time and not profess Christ and not get involved in Christ's will, His will is that all should be saved. His will is all that we should become ministers of the gospel. That's what his will is. His will is that we should be ministers of reconciliation. Remember, I preached a few months ago about that. Minister of reconciliation. What is that? Ministers of reconciliation is that you reconcile humanity to God. If you're not doing that, you might be at the wrong gate. Because you're going to be known by your fruit. So last night, at the end of the night, we get through, and I walk up to the rodeo contractor, and I said, we got done what we need to get done. Is there anything else? This is the first words out of his mouth. Preacher, I wanted to come to church, but I'll be busy tomorrow, getting this down. I said, I understand. We all have excuses. I don't know if he's in here or not, but I would have said that either way. If 1 hour makes you or breaks you, or 2 hours makes you or breaks you, you're doing something wrong anyway. Someone come to my dad one day. My dad asked a guy, I said, why weren't you in church yesterday? Now, my dad's a quiet guy, but he loves the Lord. He said, well, I missed you at church yesterday. Why weren't you there? Well, Charles, I had ox in the ditch. Y'all know the story, right? Jesus even said, if you have an ox in the ditch, wouldn't you go get him out? He said, Charles, I had an ox in the ditch. Some of you know my dad, right? He don't say much. He said, well, if you hadn't tied him up next to the ditch on Saturday night, you would have had to get him out on Sunday. You can learn a lot from folks that's been around the world and been in church if you just listen. Just listen. What gate are you at? What gate are you trying to go in? Look, your way will be difficult if you're following Christ. Now, I'm not talking about it's difficult because of dumb decisions. Come on, somebody. That's not a difficult, my Christian walk's dumb. You just make dumb decisions. Right? I'm the master making dumb decisions. Some of those ain't got nothing to do with God, ain't got nothing to do with the devil. That's just you. You just there and that's just dumb. But I'm talking about when you get right with Christ, you serving him, there's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some people that don't like you. Come on, somebody. There's going to be some people that are right around you helping you. It's going to be difficult. But I just can't handle the pressure. It's just too much. I just can't live for the Lord. I've heard that told me more than once, probably more than 100 times. It's just too much. Well, what's too much? What gate are you after? What do you want people to know you by? You want to know what people think about you? Start asking, have somebody anonymously go ask about, what do you think about Marty? What do you think about Billy? What do you think about Brad? What do you think about Pam? Now be ready for the answer, because they ain't all good. That's why I never Google me. Come on, somebody. I don't Google me, because you can find about me whatever you want to find out, whatever you want to believe. That's what you can find out. Good, bad, or ugly. Here's what matters. What fruit are you putting off? What's your fruit? Is it that of a Christian walk? Is it that of a mediocre walk? Is it that of... Now, I'm going to preach to you in just a second. You say, well, this is not really preaching, this is teaching. Call it whatever you want. Is it that of... Well, every time they get in trouble, they run to God, and then about a week later, 2 weeks later, they're gone. Did y'all know that happens? Did you know you've probably done that? I've done that. God, I need you, I need you, I need you, and get you through your trouble, that difficulty. God is nowhere around. What gate are you lined up at? What fruit do you have that says, I'm Christ? Preacher, did I tell you this is brought to you by love? Just checking. I didn't plan those songs, by the way, either. Verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The answer is no. The answer is no. I want to challenge you this morning. We're fixing to leave. It's a miracle of God. Tell me God doesn't work miracles still today. This is what the Lord laid on my heart, and I'm done. I want to challenge you today. If you could turn around and see fruit that's following you, what would it look like? Be honest with yourself. What would your fruit look like? What would people say about you? Not that you live by that. I'm talking about spiritual fruit here, okay? Would they think you're a wishy-washy Christian? Would they think that you say you're a Christian, but you're not? Would they say that about you? Would they say that you're not consistent in your Christian walk? That you're up one day, down one day, you're here, you're there. The Bible says if you're wishy-washy, in other words, if you're like the wave of the sea, he said, expect to get nothing from God. I wonder if sometimes that's why our prayers aren't answered. We're here today and there tomorrow. Back over here and back there. Your prayer life, look, I'm going to talk to you in some personal things here. What about your prayer life? How much you pray in during the week? Well, I pray when I have a need. I pray over my food. Okay. How much do you pray God to change you? Lord, change me to be like you. We're supposed to be there, right? What's your prayer life? What's your Bible reading time? Are you Christian in name only? Or do you get in God's word and say, how does this speak to me? How is this to me? I've been reading John, and I read the scripture about some being in the vine. Just spoke to my heart so vividly. In the vine, connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. Are you connected? What gate are you at? What gate are you standing at? Is it this wide gate? Everybody's going in because you want to be friends with everybody. Can I tell you something? Please listen to your preacher. When you become a Christian, you're not going to be friends with everybody. There's going to be some of your close friends that you thought was friends, and you got to get rid of them, not because they're bad people. They're just bad people. Come on. You're not better than them. God loves them much as he loves you. I told you that a while ago. It's not about that. It's just there's got to be some things that change so you can have different fruit. What's your fruit look like? I got a box of tomatoes in my office over there. They're good too. I get tomatoes all the time. I'm waiting for somebody to bring me steak. We get tomatoes all the time, don't we, Landon? We got boxes and people bringing us boxes of tomatoes. Where's the meat? took home some the other day. And then when I got home, I got this big box. You know, that big 100-pound box we got over there, and we've been giving them away. And then you get home, and you got this, and then your neighbor, my neighbor, he's got 100 tomato plants, literally. He knocked on the side of the barn, and they said, "Hey, I got you a bag of tomatoes here on this little table." I'm thinking, I need a tomato like I need another hole in my head, friend. And I said, "Oh, great, man, I love tomatoes." I didn't lie. I love tomatoes. I don't love that many of them. But I got some of them home, and you know how that tomato got that little ooze and stuff come out of it? It don't smell that good because a bird or a worm or something's pecked on it. You know what that'll do? Listen to me. I'm going to close. I am. You know what that'll do? You'll pick up that one, be the only one bad in there, and a little juices run down onto the other one. And you can go wash it off, and it's fine. But you'll think, man, one of the rest of these are bad. Sometimes you'll throw out that all of them because one bad one. You might want to look at your life and say, you ain't got to get rid of everything. You ain't got to get rid of all them people in your life. Some of them good. But get rid of them bad ones. Because you're going to be known by your fruit. That old bad one will ruin the rest of them. It'll start stinking. Then you can quote what Jesus said about Mary said about Lazarus. "Lord, by now he stinketh." Because your fruit stinks. Love you. You stand with me across this building. Lord, keep your eyes open. Lord, help people to see the fruit in me that you need them to see. Lord, help me to line up at the right gate. Don't get caught into this idea, Lord, I need to be over here in this crowd because they can help me get where I'm going. No, they help you. The Bible says they help you get to hell. When he talks about destruction, he's talking about destruction of the spiritual body, and that's destruction. It's hell. Lord, help me to line up at the gate where people will help me, and they'll tell me when I do wrong. They'll instruct me and help me. I'll be accountable. Lord, help me to line up at that gate. Lord, help me to always know that I'm not always right. Help me to recognize bad fruit when they come into my basket. Help me to recognize them. Lord, give a spirit of discernment. I pray that would come upon each one of you, that you could recognize bad fruit when it comes into your basket so that it will not contaminate you. Lord, help me to know when I'm going through difficulties, when things are squeezing in on me, that I'm right in the gate that you wanted me to be in, because it says that difficult is the way if I go to the narrow gate. Because God, you feel like there's pressure coming on you and they're squeezing in, does not mean God has left you. He says, those whom he loves, he chastens. One passage says, he prunes you so that you'll bear more fruit. When you get pruned, you get cut. And it hurts and it stings, but it's for the benefit of you to produce more good fruit. Lord, help us to recognize when you're pruning us. Father, we love you and we thank you. Lord, I bless your people. I bless your people. I pray that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man, that increase, prosperity, job promotions, and raises would come our way, and that peace would rest over every rooftop. And when we lay down this afternoon or this evening, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Love you all. See you on Wednesday night. God bless you.